Let's go to our next guest, a scientist, writer, speaker, consultant working at the interface of science, philosophy, and religion. He's got a new book out called A Catholic Scientist Harmonizes Science and Faith. Dr. Gerard Verscheren. Did I get that right, doctor?
Yes, you did.
All right, good. I'm happy to hear that. You know, there's a lot of people, doctor, and you probably hear it, which is why I think you wrote a book on it, a lot of people that think that science and faith are kind of at odds with one another or opposing to one another. You say not so. Why?
Correct. It's a myth that was developed during the Enlightenment period. But there are many scientists who are Catholic, and many Catholics are scientists, so there is no conflict. I try to explain in my book, the connection between science and faith is reason and reasoning.
You say, doctor, that science needs faith, and faith needs science, that both really are guided by logic and deal with facts, as you say, but you say both kind of lean on each other. Explain that.
Yeah, first of all, the scientists have to assume certain things. They have to assume that there is order in this world. If there is no order in this world, science doesn't make any sense. Mm. So where does that order come from? It could have been a chaotic world. Why is it orderly? I think that is only explainable or the best explainable if there was a maker who created order. Something can also be said about how is it possible that we can understand this world, the intelligibility of this world. That is only possible, I would say, if there is a God who made this world intelligible for us. Hmm. He created our minds, and he made sure that we could understand the world. Animals don't really understand the world. They work in it, and they will react according to what they were programmed, but they cannot understand it. So there is definitely a short kind of, let's call them, assumptions that scientists need. But science cannot prove its own assumptions. Only religion and philosophy can do that, and that is where religion comes in. And the thesis of my book is that faith, our religion, also needs reason. And that is probably baffling for many people. Many still think that faith does not allow for reason. Mm. Well, St. Augustine could not have said it more clearly. Believers are also thinkers. In believing, they think, and in thinking, they believe.
Well, I mean, you look at the church, if anyone thinks that we are afraid or the church is afraid of thinking or reason, it requires that their priests or seminarians have, 4 years of philosophy just to get into theology, to really learn how to think and to think rightly with logic and good reasons. So, I mean, that's the lowest kind of bar to pass before you even get into the study of God. So the church certainly isn't afraid of it, but you go steps further in talking about Christianity helping to produce modern scientific advancements. What is maybe one of those that you can point to?
Yeah, you are completely right what you said. There is a lot of reasoning in Catholic faith. So why is that so difficult to accept for many people? Hmm. Blame Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer. He once said, reason is the greatest enemy that faith has. So he made us very scared about reason. And he said, you don't need reason. And I explain in the book how he came to that idea. It's a faulty idea. Anyway, for many Catholics, they have been infected by that virus. I call it the Protestant virus. It says there is no reason in faith. The Catholic Church has the almost opposite. There is no faith without reason. Pope John Paul II even wrote an encyclical about faith and reason. St. Thomas Aquinas says that reason prepares the mind for faith, explains the truth of faith, and defends the truth of faith. So we end up with a lot of faith in our religion, in spite of the virus Luther gave some Catholics. When I always like to tell the story when a father of a student at a Catholic college was told that his daughter was learning that theology was faith-seeking understanding, the poor man exclaimed, but faith doesn't have to seek understanding. That's why we call it faith. What he was defending was the blind faith of Martin Luther. It has no basis, and you can believe in anything you want if this were right. Fortunately, that view is not right in Catholic faith. Catholic faith requires that you think, and as you said, that's why future priests have to learn philosophy and they have to learn science, because science also used reasoning, and so we end up as very special human beings. Each time I say I'm only human, I'm not comparing myself with something below me, such as a cat or a dog or an ape, but I'm comparing myself with something who is above me and transcending me.
Doctor, do you find that there is in the scientist world that they are more prone to believing in God, or do you find that there are more atheists in the scientific community?
At this point, I would say there is a majority of atheists. Hmm. They call themselves very often agnostics, but agnostics are basically atheists because they don't give God the power and the honor he needs. So, but it seems to be changing a lot. Yesterday, I gave an interview for the organization of Catholic scientists. They have many, many members, and they all are Catholic, really practicing Catholics even. And I think the tide is turning, but unfortunately, those atheistic scientists have a huge megaphone. And they get a lot of support from the media and the academia. So it makes it look like they are in a majority, but they just have the biggest mouth, but not the biggest numbers, I think.
Yeah, I think I can hear you on this, Doctor. And we need books like this. A Catholic Scientist Harmonizes Science and Faith by Sophia Institute, Dr. Gerard Verscheren. Thank you for coming on, Doctor. I'm going to point people to your book continuously, and I know this is your second time on the show, and we're going to have you back again. You're a good man.
Thank you, John. I love being on your show.
Thank you.